Hey everybody, Economic Ninja here. We're about to see a lot of businesses shut their doors, and I'm going to use some personal experiences as a consultant. I have, for the last 12 years, I have spent time consulting small to medium businesses all the way up to $250 million in market caps. I've sat with boards, board of directors. I have sat with CEOs. I've sat with vice presidents. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of why companies are failing right now and why they're going to utterly fail. And it is going to seem like it's someone else's fault, but it's actually not. Much of this is in the business owner's hand. We are in a moment where businesses in 2024 are going to be faced with rapidly shrinking sales, rapidly more and more reluctant customers to buy or use their goods and services. And there's a lot of outside factors that affect that. Obviously, inflation, fear and uncertainty, and competition. And there is one thing in all of the consulting that I've done in the last 4 years that are eating companies alive that I tell them, and they still do not heed this warning, and it blows me away, is that your competition is eating you for lunch because you have grown so fast in such a little time. Like, you've grown so big in such a little time, and you're not going back to the basics. Every certain amount of years, a company needs to reflect back on what it did a year or two earlier to get them where they were or where they are currently. And they don't do that. And there becomes so much red tape as more and more employees come into the mix that there are some amazing people in those organizations, and there are some people that are just laggards. They're insecure. Insecurity breaks down a company faster than you could ever shake a stick at. There's actually personality tests where you can find people that are insecure, and I'm sure that there are people watching this video that are going to chime in that know how many people, especially in middle management positions, that are very insecure, and so they rob you of your, like, what you've done rather than give you accolades. It's very rare to find people like that. That's one issue, but I'm going to talk about a couple right now that are very specific. There's a company that I use, and sometimes I fall into consulting gigs just by happenstance. I'm chatting with a business owner. I meet him in the grocery store and we're talking about sales, and I'm able to increase his sales in 10 minutes, just giving him some great ideas, right? And that turns into a business proposition later. There's other times where I actually get hired based on a referral. And then there's times where I'm using a company's product or service and I'm talking to a representative and I'm like, you know what? You could really do things better this way. And it's happened a couple of times where the employee goes, yeah, I've thought the same thing. And I go, well, what happens? Why don't you do something about it? No one will listen to me. And I've given that employee a couple of ideas. And there's one employee that I remember talking with where I said, hey, you need to fix this. And I go, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Or I tell them a problem and they said, yeah, I've thought the same thing. I'm like, well, then this is how you approach your supervisor. This is how you approach the president of the company. And there's one person that I was speaking to once in a company, and this person told me, you are making my job not only so easy, but you have been blessing me because I'm getting promoted, because that seems like I'm always the one fixing their problems. He didn't tell him that it was coming from someone else at first. And I told him, I said, don't, like, be blessed with these. I'm just going to give you ideas. I love watching people prosper. You know, I believe that when I help people, it just comes back tenfold. And there was one problem with onboarding new clients. And the problem was that they were creating multiple accounts, online accounts, because of the email replication process. You know, when you go into a website and you go, hey, you know, sign up, here is your email. And sometimes most companies will ask you to retype the email. Well, it sounds like a little bit of a bummer, right? And there's been times where I've typed it in and I'm like, oh gosh, I got to type it in a second time. It's because it's actually very important for you, the customer, and the company, because they don't want you to accidentally, you know, pinky swipe a wrong letter and you don't catch it. You would be blown away how many times people don't catch this. Well, it leads, when you only have them put their email in once, you deal with duplicate accounts. Well, this one of these companies I was working with, because of how I was working set up, I'm the one that had the deal to duplicate accounts as a user of their software, their platform. I didn't like that. I'm getting bombarded with 20 emails a day saying, hey, I just logged in my account and it's blank. Well, because what would happen is they would sign up for the system with one email, and then they would turn around and, okay, I bought it. I bought the software. Now I'm going to go on and log in. And they log in and they typed in their email address the real way, the proper way, the second time. And now they've got a duplicate account. It's showing it's blank. And I talked to them about the company, and I said, and they turned around and went, you know, the tech guy said that they'd have to wait till the next big integration, the big software, you know, push. I said, no, they're full of crap. I'm just going to call it like it is. I've worked with a lot of tech guys. I've worked with a lot of coders. I know exactly how easy that is. And it doesn't take much to do an update and say, hey, we're going to be down for maintenance. And I'm going to say this too. You probably don't know this about software platforms, but there are times like with banks and big companies, they'll do a lot of these pushes where they'll go, hey, our website's going to be down. They put you a banner up, and we're going to be down for scheduled maintenance on this time. So we'll be down, you know, while we push out the new rollout. We've tested it. Now we push it out. And the small companies don't do that. Small businesses. And you're losing business like crazy. Let me check something. Right, I might be getting an emergency text right now. Okay. I'm not. And so what happens is, we're getting all these emails and there's confusion, and it's causing people to get upset, right? And so it's causing the company's customers to get upset because their customers are getting upset. And so then I was told, hey, we fixed it. We fixed it. I said, okay. And I just took their word for it. And I'm seeing a little bit less of those emails, but I'm still seeing them. And they said, oh, it'll come out, you know, it'll just happen. So I decided to set up my own account. A dummy account. Sure enough, they didn't fix it. So I contacted them, and you know what I was told? Well, we didn't do it because it would cause friction. Like, what do you mean? And I knew exactly what they were talking about, but I played dumb. So what do you mean friction? They said, well, you know, if customers put in their email twice, they're less likely to buy. Huh. And I said, okay. So that's funny. I'm less likely to sell now. So what's more important? And then I turned around and I'm getting emails from their competitor. And they said, and I told them, I said, hey, you got competitors out there. And they said, yeah, that was another reason why we didn't do it. None of our competitors do it. And I said, does that make it right? You see, in America right now, and probably all over the world, we have people that don't want to put out stellar products, stellar. They want to just do what everyone else is doing. They want to make this much money. They don't want to deal with the adversity of like, oh, sorry, our onboarding process might be a little stronger than our competitors. It's because it's better for your security. Can you imagine putting that on the banner? Hey, we're going to ask you some questions. Just so you know, our competitors don't do this. Of course, they don't want to do it because out of insecurity, companies go, I don't want them even thinking we have competitors. All right. Well, you know who knows that a company has competitors? Their competitors. You know, I love starting new businesses because I want to eat the competition for lunch. I know it sounds crazy, but my whole life I need goals. And very few C-suite execs these days have goals. They sit in their fancy offices and they brag about, you know, what they're doing when they really they're barely doing anything, and they barely have any vision. We rarely see executives in this world these days with vision. The vision comes from the lowest people. As a matter of fact, in our country, you will find that some of the greatest executives, C-suite executives, worked in the mailroom. They actually started in the mailroom, and they worked themselves way up. They didn't come from another company because, hey, they screwed that one up. And now they went and they wanted to go where the grass is greener. They wanted fresher pastures or new people. You find the greatest leaders in a business usually had the greatest adversity, the hardest headwinds to go against. And it's funny, I remember talking to one employee once about a competitor that was trying to scout me because I brought this business a lot of business. And I contacted one of the higher ups at the company and I said, hey, I got a message for your CEO. And the guy goes, what is that? I said, well, your company is going to eat you for lunch. Your competitor is about to eat you for lunch. And I told him why. I knew this. I said, look, I know where I'm in the company, how much business I bring you guys. And I'm getting emails trying to get courted to come over and they're bringing me lower fees. As a matter of fact, it was nothing. I was going to pay nothing for quite some time. And I said, they're going to eat you alive because I know a couple of your other customers. I contacted them and said, hey, is this company trying to hit you guys up? Like, oh yeah. And I said, what are they offering you? Because that's the first thing I do. What are they offering you? And so everyone's comparing. And, you know, I'm like, because we all know with numbers, there's a lot of strength. And so before I go do that, because that's not the type of person I am, I go to the company that I've been having success with. And I said, look, let's take this information from your competitor. Let's make this even better. And the person was like, dude, I went and talked to the president of the company and told him all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah. Like, and he says, would you be willing to talk to the president? I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. I do it all the time. And never got that phone call. Months and months and months later, never got that phone call from the president. I guess he's too busy. And it's funny. He was warned. You can usually tell when a business is going to collapse based on the attentiveness and the reverence or the respect, for lack of better terms, of the ones running it. There are all kinds of business owners out there that have failed before, and they always blame everything else except for them. But 100%, the reason why your business failed is because of you. I see it right now. You know, our country is losing a lot of things, especially its marbles. And one thing that's happening is pride always comes before a fall, and pride is seeping into corporate America. Like, I mean, it's been there for quite some time, but it's really seeping in there. And all they're looking for right now is their next bailout. And I'm telling you right now, there's a time coming, and I believe it's sometime in 2025, where your bailout's not coming. And the people that are would be your saviors, they're going to buy your companies up at pennies on the dollars. Matter of fact, a lot of that stuff's going to go away and they're going to get it for free based on the debt you took out with them. So if you run a business, I would highly advise you right now to start really going back to your basics. Figure out how you were a success in the beginning. Because if you lose that, you are going to lose your company and we're going to lose a lot of jobs. And so if to all the presidents, the owners, the board members that are watching this, and I know this channel goes out to a lot of influential people, this is going to be your fault. Go back to basics and watch what happens. Don't try and make profits by laying people off. Make profits by crushing your competition because you're putting out a better product or a better service for a better value, and your margins are going to go up. Make sure that your employees are happy, not by giving them everything they want, by doing what you say and providing what they need to be a success. And then your company is going to absolutely dominate it. The fact matters, we need more mom and pop businesses. If you have ever wanted to start a business or a side hustle, I'll give you a 50% off code down below to the how to start side hustle. Takes you from a garage sale to a corporation. No joke. But we need businesses to stand up and say, it's time to put down the pride. We have got a very serious situation on our hands. Economy is collapsing and we better get ready or it's going to be our fault. With that being said, the Economic Ninja is out.